Now, KMOX at your service. Welcome to the Gila Tech Foundation Repair Home Improvement Show. Now, here's your host, Scott Mosby, on KMOX.
Welcome back, my friends. Hour number two of the KMOX Home Improvement Show here on a Saturday at your service. That's right, all the experts here helping you out. This is the Gila Tech Foundation Repair Home Improvement Show. Scott Mosby taking a little time off today. Jake Spurgeon from Mosby Building Arts. He is a home consultant and designer for Mosby Building Arts. He's here answering all your questions. I'm just the guy sitting here putting people on the phone. That's all I'm doing today. So Jake's handling all the heavy work. I'm doing all the light work today. Jake, again, thanks for coming down and hanging out with us. I appreciate it.
No, thank you for having me, and you're doing a great job.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you. As I said, this is one of the most fun things I get to do is because I don't have to prepare anything. I just ask dumb questions and go from there. So
it works.
You got to have a goal in life. That's
yeah,
all
a little bit.
So, folks, we invite you to join us here on the program. Here's the numbers, 436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Those are the numbers if you want to get on. We got plenty of time this hour for the Home Improvement Show. If you want time to talk, we'll let Jake answer your question. And he said he'll take any questions. Doesn't even have to be home about home improvement. He's going to take any questions.
I'll try to answer anything non-home related. Probably won't be right.
That's right. Well, you know, this is a beautiful weekend outside here in St. Louis.
It is.
A lot of folks getting out, maybe not for the first time, but really just kind of getting out and hanging outside and enjoying the great weather. Maybe a good time to take a look at your house and saying, hey, what happened this winter?
Yeah, we had a very, very cold winter this year, and it's important to really walk around your property and take a look at the exterior around windows, corners of siding. Check to see, you know, how things weathered. And if something's awry or if you're not sure, have an expert out, talk with them, and get some answers.
You know, I'm going to just throw this out to you. We were talking before the top of the hour about mud jacking and stuff, and I was telling you about the fill underneath our concrete. Mm-hmm. This is a great time to get out and clean your gutters because that's what happened to us. Mm-hmm. I know that is a major problem with a lot of homes here in the Midwest is the gutters get clogged, then all of a sudden all sorts of drainage issues happen around the house.
Yeah, the goal is to keep that water away from your property, away from your foundation, so you don't have problems down the road or you're causing more problems. So, you know, clean the gutters out. Or if you want a forever solution, put a gutter shield on of some type on top of them, and you'll never have to get up there again.
Yeah, we have an issue with the way two peaks come together, and it's like this river that comes straight down and it goes right on top of our sidewalk where it washed away everything like that. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
that's a major issue. I need to get about a 14-inch wide, you know, gutter at that point.
There are solutions to that.
Absolutely, absolutely. So you're out walking around the house, looking around. Maybe, you know, want to make sure you pick up all the sticks, leaves, and stuff. Clean out your gutters. What are some other things that folks could do outside?
You know, like I said before, take a look around and make sure that certain things, like check your deck out and make sure that it, you know, that nothing has rotted prematurely through the winter and anything. Check around those windows and doors, you know, check the brick molding to make sure that there's not any penetrations that have come up. Just, again, keep that moisture out of the inside of the house.
So, folks, also, we talked about, hey, you're going to do some graduation parties coming up, or we're going to do some other stuff this summer. What about maybe a room addition or something like that, or even an outdoor space for folks this year?
It's a popular call for this time of year. Everybody wants to get outside more, but they want to have entertaining space to do it instead of just in the grass. So creating patios, screen rooms, decks, all that fun stuff, you know, really spaces to entertain guests.
What kind of trends have you seen in that? I mean, personally, to me, I've always wanted a sunroom. I think those are really, really cool looking in addition to in a deck. But what kind of stuff have you seen lately?
We're getting more and more calls for outdoor fire pits. Great spaces, whether that be wood burning or natural gas ones. I'm a fan of the natural gas because I like to hit a button and then have it come on. There's no cleanup. There's no mess.
But you can't beat that smell, though.
I know. My wife would say otherwise.
Yes.
She has to launder things occasionally twice to get it out.
This is true.
But no, creating those outdoor spaces that you can enjoy when it's warm out, when it's cool out. So it has multi-purpose use.
Yeah, I think, having a great outdoor space really adds a lot of value to your home, because I'm a person that, I would like to sit out on my deck and my patio and eat dinner out there and just enjoy being outside. I'm not one to want to sit inside all the time.
Yeah, it's, go outside, get some fresh air.
Exactly.
It's important. It's good for your mind, body, and soul.
I mean, not when it's 100 degrees, but, otherwise.
Well, what if you like the heat?
That's true. I work in the heat all day, but
okay.
That's a different story. But, I think some of the innovations I've seen in the outdoor decks, and whether it be an elevated deck or just a regular, on ground, some of the materials and stuff, I don't want to say plastic decking, but that...
Composite,
thank you.
Yeah.
The composite decking. I mean, that stuff looks really cool.
Oh, they have come a long way creating the look of exotic woods that would normally be out of reach for some average homeowners. But to be able to get that look of some, rainforest woods and some great textures and colors, that it's forever. It's not going to rot. You don't have to restain it. It's a long, long-term product.
So when you have that, obviously the technology would go into that too. I mean, obviously you look at outdoor speakers or outdoor lighting. I'm sure that's all you can control with your phone as well.
Yeah, you can definitely build in speakers and lighting and different, different technology items into the landscape of the exterior as well.
Well, now, what about room additions? That's going to be a big one. I'll tell you what, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk about room additions. How's
okay.
that? All right, this is the Helitech Foundation Repair Home Improvement Show on a Saturday at your service here on KMOX. Jake Spurgeon in from Mosley Building Arts. We're going to take a little time out, but we invite your phone calls. What's the number? Let me give it to you. 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. We'll be back after these.
Welcome back to the Helitech Foundation Repair Home Improvement Show. Now, once again, here's your host, Scott Mosby on KMOX.
Welcome back, everyone. 12:18 is your time right here in the heart of Mid-America. This is the Helitech Foundation Repair Home Improvement Show. Jake Spurgeon in from Mosby Building Arts, answering all your questions, and he's going to take every question.
Every question.
It doesn't matter. 436-7900, 1-800-925-1120. Now, I ask you, we were talking about folks doing some entertaining, maybe, or wanting to branch out. We talked about maybe, making space for the kids in the basement.
Yeah.
What about room additions?
Well, room additions are another area that you can take advantage of and, really add some living space onto your home. Or if you have a more traditional home that is kind of the rooms are broken up with walls and you want to create that open concept, add a room addition that you can just really double the size of that living space or kitchen or dining area.
See, I always wanted to do that with the garage. I wanted like a 7-car garage and a 1-room house, but my wife just wouldn't go for that.
No, they usually don't. What if the closet's big enough, though?
Closets are never big enough. My closet is. No, hers, never big enough. Never big enough. But room additions, that's kind of a cool way. I mean, I know a lot of folks say, hey, you know what? I like my house. I want to stay in my house. I just need to add more space to it. So yeah. Room additions, way to go, great way to go with that. Obviously, you can do all sorts of stuff in a room addition.
Yeah, we can do a ton of stuff in a room addition. And a lot of homeowners just don't know where to start or what questions to ask or what the ideas are. So at Mosby, we're just as much education-driven as we are project-driven. So we have seminars about once a month or every other month. And the next one coming up happens to be on additions.
There you go.
Yeah. It's... it's on Saturday, May 19th, that you can come and, meet with myself and other designers and talk about, have pictures of your home, and you can chat with us on, what can be done and what we suggest and recommend. It starts at 10:30. We open our doors at 10 o'clock. It's going to be at the Holiday Inn in Sunset Hills. Again, that's on Saturday, May 19th. Call our office or email us and register an RSVP so we know how many are coming, so we have enough chairs. But it's great to be able to do that. It's a free, completely free seminar, so
there's
no charge to do it.
Oh, perfect. So if you have any questions about room additions, you can come out and do that. What do you see as far as room additions for something? Are most people doing that for like a play space for the kids, or are they making it into like a, you talked about a theater downstairs before, but into an entertainment room for mom and dad, or what do you see?
Usually it's another gathering area, maybe a hearth room.
Okay.
They have a living room up front that's the more formal one. that they want to keep, but they want kind of a more rompous room with a fireplace and skylights and all the windows, and that just kind of lets that outside view and nature into the space.
So, yeah, I think room additions are a great idea for many folks that, you know, don't necessarily want to move out of their house, mm-hmm. but, you know, really kind of want to add either value and extra space to their house to be able to just expand and do whatever you yeah. want, what you want with it.
Master suites also. We have lots of homeowners that are just not happy with the size of their master bath, their closet, their master bedroom. Well, let's put a whole nother bedroom on the house that has all those bells and whistles that you want.
Well, then,
and you don't have to move.
You don't have to move. Exactly. Exactly. I like that. Let's go back to the phones, and how about we talk to Alice? Hi, Alice. You're up next on the Helitech Foundation Repair Home Improvement Show.
Okay, I'll make it real quick. Our basement, we had work done by a very reputable company, the foundation, waterproofing and all that. On one side, they chiseled out part of the wall, and then they put...
Hey, Alice, you're going to have to turn your radio down. You have to listen to us on the phone, not on the radio, okay?
Okay, I got it completely off. I want the husband to hear when you give the answer, though. All right, the one side, they chiseled it out, and they put some stuff in there. Then they put, like, little plastic things that stuck out and everything, and that went fine. Okay, about 6 months later, I called them back. They went on the other side of the basement. I had the paneling taken down by a different company. They didn't take that down. And they said, we'll fix this. And they put some, like, look, a black tire on there in three different spots. Black tire, and it went from the ceiling to the floor. Of course, it costs money, but everything costs money. And now it's like 3 years later. I've called them back a couple times. No answers. It still looks like it's damp. Now, is this black tire stuff, is that something good they used?
Yeah, that is actually, it's a version of a kind of a crack fill or a crack membrane that you can install. It's okay to use, but only on certain types of cracks. It might not have been the best application for that area, and maybe the other company did was a better product to use. So I would really recommend having an expert come out and take a look and get their advice. And you can definitely call Mosby's offices at 314-909-1800, and we'd be happy to help you with something like that.
It was the same company that did both sides, though.
Oh, it did both sides?
Right, well, the same company.
Yeah, maybe the one product they used was not the best. It probably was another application was better.
It may be just a good idea to get a second opinion all the way around.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for the phone call, Alice. Appreciate it. Let's move on, and how about we talk to Claudette? Hi, Claudette. You're up next. Hello?
Hello. How are you doing?
Good. What can we do for you?
I have a crack in my wall, and water's coming through there. So what's the best material to use for the crack? I was told epoxy with silicone. Want to drill in there?
Yeah, an epoxy injection is also typically an answer that you can use for those basement cracks, but... Without me actually seeing it and seeing if it's been moving or anything like that, it's hard to say if that's the best answer. You know, every product has, you know, recommended applications, and I don't know if the one that you have is something that would be the best answer for. So I really recommend calling up the office and having an expert come out and
okay.
take a look at it.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right. Thanks so much, Claudette.
All right.
Well, this is the time of year that folks are starting to see little dampness in their basements and mm-hmm. things like that, and with all the moisture that's down there. I mean, it's probably a good thing to get it checked.
Yeah, and I also specify a lot of times it's okay to have cracks in your basement. Concrete does. I always had friends that said, you know, concrete does a couple things. It gets hard. You can't steal it, and it's going to crack.
That pretty much sums it up.
It sums it up. So it's okay for the concrete to crack sometimes, but if water's coming in, there's typically something on the outside of the house.
A reason for that.
Drainage, that's water is not being focused away from the foundation. So to walk out there and do I have some grading I need to do or something to keep that water away?
We actually had, when we first bought our house, we had water that was actually running in our basement windows and running into the house. And so we had some folks out and actually had a waterproofing system put in where they dug up the foundation and, you know, put that looked like a gutter system
inside.
We've never had a problem since mm-hmm. they've done that. It's one of the most fantastic things we've ever had done to our house. So
yeah. It allows you to finish the space and not worry about it.
Exactly. Exactly. I think that's a really good thing. We were talking about room additions before we went back to the phones, but one of the things I wanted to talk about, what do you do for when you do have a room addition like that for heating, ventilation, things of that nature?
Well, part of our design process at Mosby is to not just take a look at what we're going to add to the property, but to make sure that the home can accept that room addition. And what I mean is electrical-wise, plumbing-wise, and mechanical HVAC-wise, you know, to calculate, you know, your current HVAC, heating and air conditioning, can it handle the additional square footage? So that's part of all taking a look at the big picture and making sure everything's going to work well together.
So, you know, I mean, you may have to have another furnace and or AC or even a bigger electrical box.
Yeah, it is lots of things, you know, that have to happen to make spaces work. And if you're working with somebody that doesn't know that, it's just going to cause pain.
I can only imagine. My biggest fear about that whole thing is making sure that it's sealed against the other part of the house.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that, for me, it's hard for me to comprehend how that gets done.
There's lots of ways to do it wrong and really only a few ways to do it right.
Absolutely. Let's talk to Gary. Hi, Gary. You're up next here on the Helitech Foundation Repair Home Improvement Show. All right. Well, we'll come back to Gary.
Yeah.
All right. Tell you what, let's take a break. We'll come back right after this. This is the Helitech Foundation Repair Home Improvement Show on KMOX Saturday at your service. We'll be back after these.
Welcome back to the Helitech Foundation Repair Home Improvement Show. Now, once again, here's your host, Scott Mosby, on KMOX.
Welcome back, everyone. 12:32 is your time right here in the heart of Mid-America. Scott Mosby taking a little time off. Doesn't matter, though. Jake Spurgeon's in from Mosby Building Arts answering all your questions. I'm just the guy that's facilitating the calls today. My name is Greg Damon. You usually hear me on the auto show. But today it's all about the Home Improvement Show and the Helitech Foundation Repair Home Improvement Show. You want to call us? 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. And before we go back to the phones and grab Gary, I have to say, folks, off air, Jake and I were talking about this little device that it sounds really cool. We talked about technology earlier, and go ahead. I'm going to let you just roll with it.
Well, it came about. We have, in my home, I have a sensor in my basement around my water heater and water main that if it detects water, it actually sends me a text alert. So if my basement's leaking, my sump pump stopped working, or whatever, I know instantly to head home or to get a neighbor or somebody to come over and check
on it. Get somebody. Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
And the newer ones, they actually have a valve that you connect to your water main that if that sensor detects water, it turns off the water. So you're out of town, you're not at home, it turns the water off to your house.
That's crazy. We're going to talk about sump pumps after we talk to Gary. I got a good story to tell you. Let's go and talk to Gary. Hi, Gary. You're up next here on the Helitech Foundation Repair Home Improvement Show on KMOX.
Good afternoon. I'm out in the rural area, and I've got a couple of walls along a patio outside our bedroom door. The bedroom is in a suite in our basement, and they're tilting in just a little bit on the top, probably maximum 3 inches off of being straight up. And I didn't know whether it was viable to have like the soil taken off the one side of them and jack them back out to where they're straight up and down, or would it be more professional to have them removed? I haven't got any estimates from anybody yet, but I'm trying to figure out what my options are. And being how it's a log house, I've also noticed I've got one log on the west side of the house. It's probably about 2 feet up off the foundation, and it's rotten. It's going to have to be replaced somehow. I didn't know whether there was a log home expert in this area or not.
Your two questions. One about the concrete walls that you have around your patio. They should not lean inward. And a lot of times I find that there isn't, it's a thing called a dead man when you pour a foundation wall like that, that actually goes out into the dirt and holds that concrete wall in place. It is possible to push it back, but it depends on what other systems are going to be adjusted, the connection to the house or wherever it's connected at. And it's usually a drainage issue that there's not water drainage behind that wall.
Yeah, I know the house was built in 79, And I think we're like the second or third owners. And we've been in it for about 10 years, and I've only really noticed this in the last year or so. As far as the leaning, the concrete walls themselves appear to be at least 8 inches thick.
Mm-hmm.
And I really can't tell whether or not there is a dead man?
Yeah, it attaches to the concrete wall and goes out into the soil, kind of anchoring that wall so it doesn't shift. Probably about the time when yours was built, that might not have been done or standard practice.
Uh-huh.
So neither was drainage behind these walls. So it's definitely, these are all things that you can keep, save the wall possibly. But it's one of those things that, you know, a concrete expert has to come out and take a look and answer that for you. And as far as that rotted log that you have on your home, there are several log home experts, builders, and repair individuals that are in the area. We do have a list at our office, believe it or not. So you can definitely email in to Mosby or call our offices, and we'd be happy to get you in touch with the right people.
Yeah, I know where you guys are at over there in the Kirkwood area?
Yep, absolutely.
Yep. Yeah, I'm married a Kirkwood girl, so I'm familiar with the area.
Yeah, for 71 years we've been in Kirkwood.
I'll touch base with you guys and see what kind of a list I can get.
Sounds good.
Thank you for the heads up.
Thanks, Gary. Appreciate the phone call. Want to talk a little about sump pumps. You know, we've been talking about water drainage. We might as well not stop now, so...
Yeah.
Sump pumps, when we had our basement put in, mm-hmm. they put an additional sump pump in. We've never had another issue, and the sump pumps work no problem. And I go down and check them every so often to make sure that this is also another good thing that folks should do.
Check them
right now before we get into the bad weather to make sure your sump pump's working. But, you know, luckily enough, I live in the St. Charles area. Most of the power lines are underground. We really don't have an issue, per se, with a lot of down power lines. So most of the time, our electricity works,
yep.
you know, all the time. But one morning, about 3 o'clock in the morning, our electricity went out in the house, and it was raining tremendously. And I thought, oh, my gosh, the sump pumps aren't going to run.
Correct.
So being the mechanic guy I am, I went out to my truck and got my inverter and a bunch of long extension cords and ran down and put them on my sump pumps, right?
So and that's pretty common for us to recommend, is to have a standard electrical sump pump, the primary that's in the bottom of that pit, a secondary one that's going to be elevated above it that's usually also electric, as long as also with a battery backup. So that's your secondary method. There's a little known, also a third option that you can do that is a water sump pump. It actually uses your water coming into your home to pump water out of your basement. And that's one that can never quit, because we're always going to have water in our homes.
And it attaches like to the water main or something?
Yeah, attaches to the main, and it uses water for pressure to pump out the that water that's in that pit.
That's crazy. I guess you have to like open the, open a sink or something to get it to flow?
No, it actually just kind of connects to the existing exit and waistline that you have that would go shoot outside your house and dump all that water that's in that pit. But no, it just automatically has a float. It's activated by itself.
Wow.
I've offered it to clients, and they've been concerned about, it's using a viable resource. And I always say, if we lived in California or in Arizona, I would understand that's not recommended, but we live next to rivers here, and waters are plentiful.
Yeah, well, not only that, I don't want my house flooding.
Correct.
that's what it really comes down to. Well, that was the story of myself getting a battery backup,
yep.
you know, after that happened. But there again, you also have to check that battery and...
make sure it works.
Make sure that it's still good and everything else. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And they usually have built-in kind of like trickle chargers that keep them, battery tenders and stuff that keep them working.
So I know many folks, I've seen their houses that have sump pits, but there's no sump pumps.
Correct.
That are built.
Oddly enough, if it's a newer home, it will always have a pit, because it's code to put one in for new construction. It is not code to put a pump in it. So I've had a few friends in recently that have built homes over the past year or two that have come to me and said, they put in a sump pump in the sump pit in the drain tile around the perimeter, but I have no pump. And I said, well, your builder didn't include it. You need to have a plumber put one in.
So you need to have somebody come out and do that.
So I would highly recommend having somebody come out and put one in, because there's so many different backflow preventers and all these different things that it has to have a dedicated circuit on electric. There's all these little nuances and code things that really need to happen that your average homeowner just can't do.
That's there you go. New technology again. How do you guys keep up with that? How do you guys keep up with the building codes? Because they change all the time.
Education. We are constantly in our office meeting with our architects, or, you know, referring to the new code book when it gets distributed and looking for changes in what's happened. You know, the different municipalities will send us updates to, they're updating to this year's code this year, and here's some of the big changes to keep out for. So just doing the research and educating ourselves of what those changes are.
Well, and I assume codes change from municipality to municipality.
Yep. You might be in one city and they use the version 2012 of the code book, and then you walk just a mile or two later and you're in another municipality that uses the 2015 code book, and there's changes between the two.
Wow. That's, well, I'm glad you guys keep up on it. That's all I can say. That's what the wealth of information we have here. Let's go ahead and take another break. We'll come back. We'll take your questions. You want the number? 436-7900, 1-800-925-1120. This is the Helitech Foundation Repair Home Improvement Show. Heading into the final stretch. Give us a call. 314-436-7900, 1-800-925-1120.
Welcome back to the Helitech Foundation Repair Home Improvement Show. Now, once again, here's your host, Scott Mosby, on KMOX.
Welcome back, everyone. This is the final stretch here on the Helitech Foundation Repair Home Improvement Show. 1247 is your time. Jake Spurgeon in from Mosby Building Arts, answering all your questions today. We got a few more minutes. 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Those are the phone numbers. Let's go, Jake, what do you say we go right back to the phone?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, let's talk to Maureen. Hi, Maureen. You're up next on the Home Improvement Show.
Hi, how are you today?
Good. What's going on?
I bought my home 5 years ago, and about 4 years ago, I took off some, aquarium that they had blocking one of the walls because I could smell mold. And I found out that I had a leak in the wall, plus it's coming in through the foundation. There's a leak in several spots about 10 foot long that is coming, the water is leaking up between the wall and the foundation of the home, or in the floor of the home. Mm-hmm. So I've got a couple spots there. I've had somebody tell me that I should get French drains and a second sump pump, or, you know, I'm just trying to look and see what the best solution would be for that.
Usually the best solution is to, you know, have an expert out to take a look at, but it sounds like you might need a sump pump put in, or to actually take a look at the exterior. Why is water getting pushed against that portion of the house? And try to maybe do something on the exterior as well as the interior to remedy that.
Now, as far as grading, though, it is a pretty flat area. So it's I don't know if it's hard to do that, but
it's probably where an exterior French drain would come into play and help draw the water away from your foundation. And then your backup system would be that perimeter sump pump system on the inside of the basement.
Okay, I have a sump pump, and it is working, but it's sort of in the center of the house, not near the wall.
Okay. Well, maybe it might be time to think about having one put in that by that wall in the exterior.
Okay.
And an average cost for something like that would be what?
It really ranges on lots of job site conditions, and that's why it's important to have, you know, somebody like Mosby or an expert come out and give us a call and have us take a look at it and kind of give you an idea of what that would take.
Okay.
All right. Thanks.
All right.
Thanks, Maureen. Appreciate the phone call.
All
right.
Let's move on and talk to Arthur. Hi, Arthur. You're up next on the Helitech Foundation Repair Home Improvement Show.
Hey, how you doing? Thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely.
I have something similar to the last caller, but I have a grade that's running along the east-west side of my house where the grade is dropping down, heading north, but south also. So on both ends, it's high on the south side. And then along the east-west wall, I'm having water settle along that wall.
Is this where, so water is being held against your foundation?
Yes, and I saw these new French drain type deals, but I would have to one, I want to know what your opinion is on those. Instead of just not putting the old French drain piping down, they have this new system or something where it looks like it's some type of material wrapped around a pipe that absorbs the water also.
Yeah, what it is, it's a rigid, it's usually green, it's a rigid hard pipe exterior, piping used for gutters and downspouts. But it has what we call a sock on top of it that keeps silt and dirt from getting on the inside. Because like the black corrugated ones that were kind of the accordion style that had holes, we're not a fan of those because they collapse over time, they fill with dirt, and then they stop working. Versus the hard, rigid ones, they won't collapse, and then when a sock is on it, it keeps all that dirt and silt and junk from going in there and lets it work for a long, long, long time.
So you're saying that it's not a good piece of equipment?
No, it does work. With the sock on it, it absolutely works, and that's something that we recommend that we can put in and definitely remedy that situation.
Okay, so
get that water away from your foundation.
So with those different grades, because if I pitch it in up high on one end, then it's high on the other end at the end of my house on the west end,
mm-hmm.
and my neighbor is on the north side. So would I have to dig one of those barrels for that, you think?
Well, it sounds like you kind of got a problem of where to send the water. And
yes.
With those situations, one of the recommendations I say is, I tell my clients, have you heard of a rain garden before? And that we could put one on your property with plants and landscaping, and you can have nature come to your yard.
Okay. I am about to build on both ends a retaining wall because I'm losing a lot of soil. So would that be considered a rain garden to catch that water inside that retainer wall on both ends?
In a way, yes. But a rain garden, it's built a certain way, and the yard and the ground is, it's certain compaction levels that each layer has to have in a rain garden. So it actually naturally will drain within a period of about 3 to 5 days.
A rain garden.
Yeah, rain garden. It'll hold water for a short period of time, but then naturally it'll drain into the surrounding soil.
And I can put that alongside the east-west wall of the house.
Yeah. Usually it's something you put away from the home and then drag the water to it.
Oh, okay. I got you. Rain garden. I'll take a look at that.
Yeah, take a look. They can look very, very nice.
Okay. Rain garden, and you're saying that other piece of equipment is a decent piece of equipment.
Yeah, a rigid exterior drainage pipe that has that sock on the outside of it.
Okay.
All right, Arthur.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks for the phone call. Appreciate that. All right, Jake. So I'm gonna pick your brain here. So I've seen a lot of houses around lately that everybody wants to be more energy efficient.
Correct.
And I'm seeing a lot more houses that are having solar panels put on their roofs.
Correct.
And they're having very good success and luck with these solar panels.
On a day like today, absolutely.
So
it provides, it minimizes your electric bill because you're really only using electricity in the evenings and overnights. Because during the day, you are feeding your house and you're actually providing power to the grid. So your electric meter, in essence, can run backwards and you're getting credits on your electric bill.
I like that.
Yeah, so
I like credits.
Sometimes the electric company is writing you a check for that month.
Wouldn't that be nice?
They're nice to have. They do pay for them. I mean, it can take some time to pay for it. It's a good upfront initial cost,
mm-hmm.
but long term they work great.
Now, that's what I was going to ask you. What about as far as long term? I'm sure the technology in solar cells has really jumped. Since they first came out, but what is the long-term effect? Do they eventually wear out? Are we looking at like a 10-year lifespan or anything like that? Do you know?
It depends on the technology that it was used in. Some of those older ones, they might be wearing out in, 10, 20 years, and the newer ones might last 20, 30, 40 years. It just depends on what that solar panel, the manufacturer, what their warranty is, all that fun stuff.
I think for me personally, if I was ever going to build a new house or do something, I would probably use geothermal for my house for my HVAC and stuff.
Yeah, geothermal is a great way for heating and cooling to make it super energy efficient because you're using the earth that is a constant temperature to either heat or cool your home. Again, has a pretty good size initial upfront cost, but over the lifespan of the unit will just pay for itself and then some.
Yeah, and obviously I think that also some equipment costs as well over the lifetime is, you know, because you don't have to use all the other stuff as well.
Yeah, and a good thing is always touch base with your municipality, your city hall, because a lot of our HOAs, your homeowners associations, a lot of neighborhoods won't allow solar panels, especially on the front of the house. They'll allow them on the back. Some not at all. And then same thing with geothermals. Will they allow you to dig that deep down into the ground to put a, what they call the well portion of it in the property?
We do it at night, so nobody knows. That's what we do.
I wouldn't recommend that.
No. You know, that's really something I think that a lot of folks are really looking forward to. What do you see, or what do you have heard maybe is in the future for energy efficiency in your house?
Well, there's tons of things that we're seeing happen. Some municipalities are requiring exterior walls were traditionally built with 2x4s, but now they're requiring a 2x6 wall to get that minimum amount of R factor in that insulation. You just can't fit it in an R or 2x4 wall. Spray foam insulation is a fantastic thing to have an attic, you know, use that spray foam insulation that is just more denser and can seal a home up much better. Lots of little things that you can do that help make that home more comfortable and more energy efficient.
Now, I know for that I've actually learned from listening to the show about your attic. That's one thing that I think many folks always worry about, having enough insulation in, or if it's in the right place, or what kind of insulation. But I wasn't in the, I didn't know that your attic really has to breathe either through your soffit vents or roof vents or whatever, and you can actually have too much ventilation.
Yeah, you absolutely can have too much ventilation. That can start to cause problems. And then if you can't seal it off completely, because if you do, then you're going to have stagnant air and you have issues there with it as well.
Yeah, I had two gable vents on each side of the house, and then obviously I had a new roof on. I wanted a ridge vent because, you know, then I've got soffit vents. So I found out that I got too much ventilation in there, and I had to actually go up and seal those gable vents off.
Yeah, you got to close those gable vents so it's drawing air from the soffit, the overhang portion, up across the decking of the roof.
And that's really something that, talk about energy efficiency, if you're not utilizing that space correctly, you could have major issues.
Well, yeah, your utility bill, I mean, utilities are only going to get more expensive. They're not going to get cheaper. So why not minimize that and do things that are going to add value and have great paybacks in the future?
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. I think we're just seeing the cusp of energy efficiency for not only for houses, but for a lot of things now.
Yeah, absolutely.
But the solar panels, I am very intrigued by those.
Mm-hmm. They can provide a lot. And then if you even go a step further, there are systems out there that you can actually store the energy that you're creating during the day from those solar panels when the sun's out and use that in the evenings. So you're essentially...
Something like a battery type thing?
Yeah, it's a battery that is storing that energy and then using it in the evenings when you're using it.
I like that.
They're really popular out in California because you have... peak and off-peak times for electric usage. So they're storing electric from the grid during the day, and they're using battery only at night on their
Fantastic.
House.
Fantastic. Well, Jake, I got to tell you, the show goes so fast every time that I'm down here to do it. And I want to thank you so much for coming down and hanging out with us and just answering all, of course, my dumb questions, but of course, all our questions from our listeners as well. And I appreciate that.
No, I have a blast doing it, and it's great to spread the knowledge.
All right. For folks who are interested in Mosby Building Arts, where can they go?
The best place to go, I would say, is our website, and that's callmosby.com, or you can check us out on social media like Facebook, email us, or give us a call at 314-909-1800.
All right, fantastic. Jake, thanks so much. That's going to wrap it up for this edition of the Home Improvement Show, folks. Stick around. More stuff to come on KMOX.